Well, folks, good evening, and let me add my welcome to Dave's earlier. Very welcome to St. Peter's Church annual vision dinner. And we thank God for the meal, but let me add to that thanks, a thanks to all of those who worked very hard this evening to get us this far, and to those who will work hard the other side of the meal to clear up all the mess that we're making. So why don't we show our appreciation for everyone who's worked hard for this evening. Great, have no fear. The chocolate brownies and the vanilla ice cream is on its way, but I'm going to make you work a little bit for your the second part of your dinner this evening. It's a great evening to be together as a church family, and a great evening not just if you're new to St. Peter's, which I know a number are here this evening, but this is an event at the beginning of our sort of new church year for all of us as a church family, where we recast our vision of the kind of church that we want to and aspire to be here at St. Peter's. This is an opportunity for us to hear the vision that we have as a church, but not just hear the vision, but also to see how that vision will become a reality in the year ahead, and then to pray to that effect, that God would honour the things that we're seeking to do to bring glory to his Son and make that a reality in our church in the year ahead. And to enable us to do that, to hear and see and pray, you should find on your tables, it was a masquerading as a table mat. I hope it didn't get obliterated by the pies. A kind of visual representation of our vision statement here at St. Peter's. The vision statement is printed in the middle, in the kind of rugby ball in the middle. And then around it are the different parts of that vision. The vision statement breaks down into three parts that St. Peter's Fulham is a gospel-centered community for the heart of Fulham and beyond. And you can see very cleverly, not by me, but by someone else, those three parts of the vision have been color-coordinated and then are in different parts of the diagram. And the plan just for this next part of the evening is to take each of those in turn and to remind ourselves what that vision means for us as a church and think together and pray together how that will happen here at St. Peter's in the year ahead. So first of all then, St. Peter's is a gospel-centered community. Now, being a community is not by any means unique to either Christians or churches. But what we seek to be here at St. Peter's is a group of Christians, a community that is shaped by the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. That his sacrificial death on the cross for us, for our forgiveness, because of his great love for us, stands at the center of everything that we do and shapes who we are and who we seek to be as a church. The first part of that vision, you can see it's there on the sort of top left corner of that diagram, is worked out in lots of different ways, as you can see, but primarily we see that being worked out in what happens here on a Sunday. We don't gather as a church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, simply because that's what churches do and we haven't really thought that through. We do it, here at least, because we are a gospel-centered community. And that's why everything that happens here as adults on a Sunday in this room, but then also through that door on the other side of that wall, and not just there, but in homes in the local area, because we've completely run out of space on a Sunday morning with the children and the young people. Everything that we seek to do here on a Sunday is centered on and is shaped by the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, of all the wonderful things that are happening throughout the week and here on a Sunday, let me just highlight one for us to think about how it might grow in our life together as a church this year ahead. And that is the once a month bring and share lunch that we enjoy together on the first Sunday of each month following our together at 10 all-age service. It might seem a very small thing to begin a vision dinner with, but actually I think from that small thing, something very significant and very powerful could grow in our life together as a church. As you know, if you've been along on that particular Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, our morning and evening services grow, that particular opportunity and that lunch together is really the only time in the month that we are together as a church family of all ages, expressing what it means to be a gospel-centered community. So can I encourage us, almost like at the beginning of this year ahead, to make the most of that unique opportunity in the month and to see it for what it is. It is not just a service that is not quite right for everyone there, a service that actually each of us has got something that slightly irritates and winds us up about it. Nor is it then followed by a meal that isn't quite as nice as the one that we would normally go home to, or indeed is a lot nicer than the one that you would normally go home to. The Together at 10 service, and especially I think the bring and share lunch that follows it, is an opportunity for us to be church together, church family of all ages, and then to grow in that church family together. And yes, there is a cost to doing that. It disrupts our usual routines that work for us, that we find comfortable. It involves bringing and sharing our food with others. It involves an element of preparation and thoughtfulness. It means eating, always delicious, but sometimes a somewhat eclectic combination of food. And it involves, of course, washing up and the putting away afterwards. But all those things are worth doing. Anything that is of value and anything that is worthwhile in life costs us. And that, as it should be. But they also give to us something of value. It's the chance to really get to know each other, to get to know people who are different to us, but who we find ourselves joined to in this particular church family as brothers and sisters in Christ, people who are made one by him and through him. Church is not personal and private. It's about belonging to and then taking a full part in that community. And this community is one that is shaped by the gospel. So, of course, cost and value lie at the heart of who we are. Now, that's just one of the things that happens on one Sunday a month. There are many other things that go towards building us and growing us as a gospel-centered community. And let me highlight just one before we move on to dessert and a chance to talk and pray around our tables. And that is our continuing Building for Growth project. This year, we've seen the installation of our wonderful new kitchen, which we've benefited from this evening already, and will do throughout the week with our midweek youth and children's groups and indeed our bring and share lunches on Sundays. But this year coming, we're wanting to get on and develop this corner of our church building, the side chapel that's just on the other side of that wall, which is like a giant walk-in cupboard and Aladdin's cave at the moment, and then the church office that lies somewhat precariously beyond it. What we're wanting to do is use that space much more creatively and usefully to upgrade it and to be able to provide more space for our children's groups, particularly on the Sundays. At the moment, we've got too many children crammed into too fewer spaces. But with this work that we're hoping to progress this year, we're hoping that each of those different age groups can have its own space, its own room, and that all of the groups that we have as part of St. Peter's Kids can meet together on site and not in nearby homes, as some of the older ones do currently. Now, the architect has drawn up some plans. They're pretty simple plans, they're pretty modest plans. The structural engineers have been on site and have done their calculations and measurements. And what we're hoping is when we've got some detailed drawings and costings, we'll be able to present that particular phase of our Building for Growth project to us as a church family, in particular the plans that we've got for fundraising that work. Our buildings that we have here are a gift to God to us as a gospel-centered community that has a big impact on how we can operate as that community. It's something that we need to think about, talk about, and pray about. We're going to do that now around the tables. That just that first part of our vision, that we are a gospel-centered community. But can I suggest that to help us in all of that, our talking and our praying, we'll need some brownies and some vanilla ice cream. And why don't the first be last in a good gospel-centered way? Which was the last table, Dave, to get their pies? If you think you were the last table to get your pies, head for the hatch and pick up a brownie and some ice cream. Come back to the tables and we'll talk around that and we'll call us to prayer in just a moment. Well, let me interrupt your praying. I know there's many more things that to pray about than we have time to, but I want to take us on to the next part of our vision statement. And that is that we are a gospel-centered community for the heart of Fulham, for the heart of Fulham. The St. Peter's Church is located geographically right in the heart of Fulham. If you were to take out your A to Z and stick a pin in what looked like the centre of Fulham, you'd probably, chances are, hit this church building. We're a church that is here in the heart of Fulham for the local community. We exist here not as a ghetto, a Christian ghetto or an enclave, but we're here to serve and to reach out to this part of Fulham. And it's the hearts of the people of Fulham that we are seeking to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. St. Peter's Church is not a social club, although we are a friendly church. It is a spiritual community that wants to reach the hearts and the lives and the souls of the many non-Christians who live around us. And that second part of our vision, what we aim and aspire to be as a church, becomes a reality in our life. Again, on Sundays, that here on any given Sunday, morning and evening, sometimes as much as a third of the people who gather with us are not yet Christians. And yet here they are, Sunday by Sunday, often week by week, joining with us. What a fantastic opportunity we have, an opportunity that many other churches would long to have. This last Sunday, if you were here, we had guest services, both in the morning and in the evening, with a particular focus and message for those who are not yet Christian. And if you didn't get a chance to invite guests along to the guest service, or if the guests that you did invite said no to this particular invitation, then don't worry, because guest services will be a regular feature and part of our outreach as we seek to fulfill this second part of our vision to reach the local community with the good news of Jesus Christ in the year ahead. Christianity Explored is our regular informal course to explore the Christian faith. That begins tomorrow night in Cafe Plum, just on the Munster Road, and it's not too late to either join that yourself, if that sounds like something you would benefit from, and it's not too late either to put in that invitation to take your courage in both hands and ask a friend who maybe you've had an opportunity to say a few things about the Christian faith to along to that. Midweek and on Sundays, this building is filled to bursting, as we've been thinking, with children and with young people of all ages from the local community, many of whom have just that as their connection to the church, the Christian faith, and the gospel. Noah's Ark with little babies, and then Fab Club, Explorers, ESBY, and Toast, our new after-school drop-in club for teenagers. The truth is, God is giving us as a church more opportunities to reach the heart and the hearts of Fulham than we have resources to meet. If you were here the other Sunday, then you may remember these words of Jesus Christ that are so true, I think, of what is happening here midweek. From Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said this: "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." There is a plentiful harvest right here in this room on almost any day of the week that you care to mention. Could it be that the Lord is asking you to be a worker in the harvest field without going anywhere? In a moment, around the tables, we're going to ask the Lord of the harvest to send his workers where they're needed. We're a gospel-centered community for the heart of Fulham. Let me just flag up. So we're looking here, as you look at your diagram, at the right-hand side, the kind of blue colour-coordinated. And let me point us to a very obvious thing that we can, in addition, pray for. And it's coming up in 2 months' time, whether we like it or not. And it's Christmas. It's whatever you feel about Christmas, it is an unparalleled opportunity for us who know the Saviour, the baby born in the manger, to share that good news with others. It is the easiest invitation that we have all year. So why not pray that that would be something that we make the most of as a church in our own lives, and that we would fulfill the second part of our vision statement to the full in a couple of months' time, but not wait until then. So why don't we, around our tables, talk about that just for a few moments, and there's some other things there that you might like to draw into that conversation, and then I'll call us to pray in just a couple of minutes so we can pray through this second part of our vision statement. Well, let me again interrupt your praying and your conversations as we move on, lastly, to look at the last bit of our vision statement this evening, that we are a gospel-centered community for the heart of Fulham and beyond, that what we're saying in the and beyond bit is that what we're doing and what we're wanting to be as a church here at St. Peter's is by no means unique. We're nothing special at all, that this sort of gospel-centered, outward-looking community is actually being replicated all over the world as God grows the Church of Jesus Christ. We believe that God is the God of the whole world, that the gospel we are shaped by and hold out to the people of Fulham is good news, not just for Fulham, therefore, but for the whole world. And we express that conviction that we have about God and his world and the gospel through our partnership with what we call mission partners. That is, Christians who are doing the same sort of gospel ministry that we're doing here, but they're doing it where they live in a context and in a way that fits the context and the culture where they find themselves. And you can see there's some mugshots of them looking down and out the bottom left-hand corner of the diagram. So our mission partners reach from the Nelsons in Paris, the Griffiths in Singapore, the Hurecks in Germany, the Lambrechts in Rwanda, and the Fergusons in North Africa. And this year we're linking up our mission partners with our house groups. And in doing that, we're trying to foster some closer ties, some more meaningful connections and partnerships between us and them throughout the year. We're also wanting to adopt, you can see on the diagram there and coming up on the screen, our very own Sarah German, one of our ministry apprentices here at St. Peter's, as a mission partner in the year ahead. In January, Sarah's going to be leaving London. She's heading off to Paris to an intensive language course. I think there's a picture of where she's going to spend the next 6 months brushing up her already pretty good French. And then in late summer, she's going to be heading off to Madagascar to work and use her physio skills in a mission hospital there. It's a wonderful privilege that we have to partner with Sarah as she steps out in faith to do this. And we're wanting to support her as a church family. She goes to Africa both financially and in prayer. We also express this and beyond part of our vision as a church in two other ways that I want to highlight. In planting a new church in Teddington called St. Michael's Fulwell, and in supporting and praying for a new Christian school here in Fulham that opened this term called Fulham Boys School. Now, in a moment, we're going to watch a brief video of the Teddington church plant and where it's got to at the moment. But before we do that, I would like to invite the head teacher of Fulham Boys School, Alan Ebenezer, who's joined us this evening for our vision dinner. Alan, perhaps you could come up here and just say a few words about Fulham Boys School, the school that you lead that's begun this term, and how we as a church can be praying for you and supporting you in that gospel work that you're doing there. Alan, come up and say a few words.
Oh, well, thanks very much for inviting me tonight. I'll be 3 minutes. Rupert's given me 3 minutes. And I've got three things to say about the school. The first thing is it's a boys' school. And so everything we do is geared towards boys. It's very strict. We're strict on uniform, on attendance, on punctuality, on behaviour, and so on and so forth. So I think boys need that. Beam and myself, we definitely need that. So it's very strict. It's a very academic school, but we bring it to life with kind of boy-friendly teaching, a lot of IT, and the teacher we've got, apart from the maths and science teacher, she's hopeless. She really is bad. But the rest are brilliant, and they are really good at motivating boys. Sport's a big part of the school. We concentrate on rugby, football, cricket, and rowing. And then that's what we want to try and be elitist in, if you like, and become the best school in. And then we offer all sorts of sports like boxing, judo, fencing, table tennis, handball, to get every boy interested in sport. So that's the boy side of it. Even the food, Rupert came for lunch today. All he's done today is eat, Rupert, all right? He was in the school today, and even our food is freshly prepared on site. Boys have to eat it. We think even that is important for boys. That's the boy side of it. The second thing is enterprise. And that's two things, really. Personal enterprise, where we want our boys to be risk-takers, problem-solvers, thinkers. They work as a team. They never give up. They never know when they're beaten. So that's the kind of personal side of it. And then the social enterprise, where they give of themselves. They're in the community. They're working for charities. They're pushing wheelchairs. Our boys are going to primary school to help young children read and so on. So it's that kind of giving back. But the main thing tonight, which I want to share with you, is the fact that the third thing really is boys' enterprise, but the Christian faith. And how that shows itself on a day-to-day basis is we want our boys to be kind. There's no bullying, stand up for justice, to be hardworking, self-controlled, and so on and so forth. But I would argue that most, if not all, good community schools do all that. What we want to make ourselves different in is that we're not there to brainwash. We're not any Trojan horse. But we want to make our boys think and to think about the big things of life. And so in our RE lessons, in our PSE lessons, in our assembly, we introduce the boys to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, you know, I think I said when I came here last, none of it really matters, does it? They can have 12 A's at GCSE. They can captain England at rugby. They can do all sorts of things. But when it all boils down to it, they have to stand before God. And on that day, all that will matter is, what did you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? And so as a school, wisely, subtly, but clearly, we want to introduce our boys to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to do that, and this is where we need your prayer, we need a chaplain. We'd like to appoint one after Christmas. We've got one in mind. He's excellent. He's an evangelical. He's a Bible believer. But we just need to get the funding for him, really. So that's the one thing you could pray for. Pray that, you know, we'd be a good witness, that people look at it. Rupert's been into assembly, Jack's been into assembly. He wore an incredible green jumper, Jack. The like of which I have not seen before or since. But we want to get these. We've got Reuben Hunter coming on Friday to give clear gospel talks. You know, Reuben Hunter speaking on Friday about, you know, at the end of the day, our biggest problem is sin. And so pray for these assemblies, that these boys and the teachers, the governors, the parents would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about.
Alan, thank you very much. It's great to have you with us, and it's great that we have got this partnership with Fulham Boys School. And you can see why I only gave Alan 3 minutes to speak. We're going to, before we turn to talk and pray, we're going to watch a video that brings us up to speed on the new church plant that came out of St. Peter's and is beginning to take shape in Teddington. So after we've watched that, we'll turn to our tables and talk and then pray.
St. Peter's, Fulham. It's great that you can all be thinking and sharing in a little way today with those being commissioned to share in God's the new work that's opening up in Teddington at St. Michael's Fulwell. I'm absolutely thrilled that what we've seen God doing through the new gospel work at St. Peter's Fulham over the last 4 or 5 years, that you're going to get to be partners in something new that's happening in an area where there are many, many people who have yet to hear about the glorious gospel that we celebrate and that's made such a difference to many of your lives and to my life as well. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And it's in response to that that we are seeking to live in obedience, to follow his call, and to reach new people in new ways across Teddington and Twickenham. I hope that you may feel that you'd like to be a part of that through your prayers, in practical ways. Maybe even this morning, God might be nudging one or two of you to step up and have a conversation with Ed and Sally about perhaps even being a part of the planting team. But may God continue to strengthen your faith at St. Peter's and those of you going to St. Michael's as we fulfill his purposes in this city with all its opportunity and with all its need. Thank you.
Fantastic. Well, listen, let's, around the tables, just spend a few moments talking, or are there any things that aren't clear about that, and then we'll spend some time praying about our ambient. Don't spend too long wondering why the Bishop of Kensington went into the toilet to record his message to us. I'm sure he had a perfectly good reason for doing that, and he didn't think it would be so obvious when it came out on the video. So let's get beyond that and get to the good stuff, and then we can pray. Friends, let me once again interrupt your prayers just for now as we draw this evening to a close. Let me encourage you to take away our kind of visual representation of our vision statement, not for a souvenir or keepsake, but to enable you to continue to pray in the way that you pray in your own life as a Christian. You might like to pray through different parts of the vision statement each day, or pray about different ministries and activities, and pray for us as a church that this won't just be words on a page, but will be a living reality in our life as a church. And maybe as house groups, as we regularly meet week by week, we might take a different area of our vision statement and add that to some of the things that we pray about in those times. There's a few other bits of paper on the table to draw to your attention. There's our regular prayer diary. And let me, if you've not seen that before, you don't know about that, one of the ways that we are a gospel-centered church and community together is that we pray for each other. And this prayer diary enables us to do that in an informed way. And if you'd like to be a part of that, and if you'd like this church to be praying for you as it's praying for others, and you didn't know anything about that, then do speak to me or to Jack O'Grady, who's got his hand in the air. There we go, just like that. And Jack can make sure that we've got your contact details so you know about this prayer diary if you're new to the church. And then finally, just one last thing to flag up. You may have got one already, but if you've not, there's the term card for the autumn-winter term, the one that we're in at the moment. And it's a kind of origami, fold-out, interactive term card. So it's not just informative, it's fun as well. And it gives you all the information that you need for what's happening on Sundays through the week, and in particularly, as we were thinking earlier, in the lead-up to Christmas. There'll be more Christmas information coming out next month.